with Steve Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Today marks the one-year anniversary of the death of Olivia Pratt-Korbel, who was shot in Liverpool. Olivia's killer, like Lucy Letby, refused to appear in court. Her mother, Cheryl Korbel, spoke about the importance of offenders attending sentencing.
That first port of call of rehabilitation should be in that courtroom and standing there listening to the judge and listening to the family's impact statements. My heart would go out to the families.
A seventh man has been arrested in connection with the fatal shooting of a man in Warwickshire. Ben Daly was found with a gunshot wound in Leamington Spa on the 10th of August and later died. Warwickshire police have since arrested and bailed a 52-year-old man on suspicion of murder and three men and two women on suspicion of conspiracy to murder. And the Lionesses have landed back in the UK after being beaten 1-0 by Spain in the World Cup final. Around 40 fans gathered at Heathrow Terminal 3 in the hope of greeting them, with one group arriving last night, but the squad are understood to have left via a private exit. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Alex Dunn.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £54 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Emmanuel Eko. The early signs of a heart attack can vary. The most common include squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, and a sense that something just isn't right. It can be easy to dismiss the early signs of a heart attack, as the symptoms don't always feel severe. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, or even good morning, depending on the time zone you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. We are coming to you from the heart of London on Colorful Radio, to wherever you are. So join us this wonderful day, and we are happy today to be hosting a great lady. She's done a lot of work, a lot of input, and of course impacting young people and also younger people like me and myself. And her name is Priscilla. Welcome to the show. And
thank you.
Can you just say hello to our listeners?
Sure.
And introduce yourself properly, including
sure.
the things that you do.
Okay, lovely. Thank you for having me on, Julius. So for those who don't know, my name is Priscilla Hini. I am an author and a writer. I also have my own podcast called The Silahini Show on all streaming platforms. And yeah, that's pretty much what I do for now. Yeah, writing, reading, mostly stuff like that, legal stuff as well, but that mainly.
Mm-hmm. Legal stuff as well.
Double dabble, just a little bit. Yeah.
Busy.
I know.
No, it's always great when we meet people who are working very hard, you know, and you know, you can never be overwhelmed by the London weather as long as you're working hard.
Right?
Because you see, one thing which is wonderful, when you are working hard and you are focused, the London weather has never made its mind, so it won't mess you up.
You've got a point there. It's true.
Yeah, so welcome to the show. We want to begin perhaps from your writing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we just focus one item at the same time, different issues, cover different broad range of things that you do. So we want to talk about the writing. And I mean, I know when I was in primary school, there's something we used to call English composition.
Mm-hmm.
We used to write. They used to always give us some very suggestive topics, some very controversial, like women are better than men.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what will I say now?
That's a very controversial topic. Oh, wow. I guess the times are different.
So. Yeah. And you ask both people there, you're like, or student, you're like, which way shall I go? Because if actually your teacher is a lady.
Goes very wrong, yeah.
You're trapped.
Basically.
Would you say it's not true?
Ooh,
and suffer the consequences of things?
Yeah, it's a very controversial topic. I wouldn't know what to comment on. Yeah. Yeah. I would say both genders have their own strengths. So I'll work with that.
It's true, yeah. It's true, yeah. It's true. Yeah, so whenever we saw that, we used to have to write. We used to have to write, not choose to write.
It was compulsory.
It was mandatory. But you are here. Your one was voluntary. Very different. When did you start? What inspired you?
So I've been writing since the age of 15. It was first poetry, monologues, short stories. I guess what inspired me was writing has always been a form of escapism for me. So I pretty much couldn't say my thoughts and opinions. Well, I couldn't convey my feelings at that young age. You can imagine you're 15. It's a lot going on. You're in school and other things. And you're growing up. You're about to be a teenager. So some things can be confusing. So I never knew how to exactly convey my feelings to the fullest or wholeheartedly. So I used to just write. And I've always been given diaries and journals by my parents when I was young. If not like for a Christmas present or a gift, just for me to like write anything. So from there, I used to just write however I felt, not knowing that I'm writing poetically or I'm writing lyrically. I never knew until I did it. And I guess English has always been my favorite subject. I loved it. I think the freedom to see something and then envision it the way you want to. And I loved reading as well from a young age. And so from that, I just always kept on writing, keeping journals and just having like a stash of journals. So there's more things to come out when the time comes, but writing is just, yeah, it's a form of escapism. And sometimes it's great to give an audience a feeling about what you feel without them seeing you. So now they can read it and kind of understand the type of person you are, and they can step into your shoes as well and understand like your perspective of how the world is.
I quite like that. I am one person who knew what I wanted to be when I grew up. And in those amazing topics, again, as I said, English compositions, where we had to write, they would say, what will you want to be when you grow up? And I used to just say, I want to be a journalist. And it was at my primary level when I made up my mind. And I'll tell you why. I used to look into, watch news quite a lot.
Yeah.
And then on TV one time I see a government budget, annual budget could be a trillion. But yet, thinking like a child, a small, innocent child.
Yeah.
The way our minds work.
We were very naive at that point.
Yeah. So I'll look at this government with 1 trillion budget, and yet there are poor people in the country. And I was like, just give each of them 1 million, you sort them out. You spend maybe, if the population is 50 million, I was like thinking, it's going to just be 50 million.
Be
1 million for each should be easy.
Mm.
And I had to grow wondering, what is the relationship between the, what causes a discrepancy? You have trillions. There's poverty in the country. And I was like, I would love to find out more when I grow up.
The thing is, it's funny you said that. I always thought the same.
Yeah.
I used to watch BBC Parliament sometimes or Question Time, and I'll think, we're talking about Benefit Street and those who are yet to have food during Christmas time, or homelessness, for example. And I'm just thinking, but then you say that, you know, someone just got a pay rise in the cabinet. It never added up, you know. And then you hear people say, oh, for those to be rich, someone has to be poor. There needs to be some sort of balance in the economy. But it still never made sense how someone could earn so much and have that, but someone could have so little and do more to even get to where they are.
Or nothing.
I used to sit as a child and be like, this makes sense. And you know, in this country, they tell you the budget, they show you the budget, they have a whole live series and the chancellor's laying out the budget for the year, and you just think, but this doesn't make sense. It doesn't equate to what you're doing. Yeah.
Up to today, there are things when you talk about inflation.
Yeah, for example. Yeah.
And I'm like, so just print some more money for everyone to have enough.
I get even more of the paper. I understand what you mean.
There's no excuse of someone sleeping with no food just because of inflation.
But then pandemic came and they put all the homelessness in hotels. So there's a way, there's a solution. There's a solution.
I mean, those are the things that drove me into journalism at a very young, you know, age, asking myself questions, things that never had. Were hiding up, and when it came to studies, I went to study politics and communication and journalism, and it was just because I still didn't have answers for the things
that you wanted to.
And shall I surprise you, even today I've never got full answers yet.
You won't. I don't think you ever will. Because the more you know, they always say the more you know, the more it's a bad thing.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
Sense.
Yeah.
For example, we are in London, and I want us to be real. ULEX extension to the entire city. I've seen my own neighbor, an old elderly couple. They had a car. At least they had a car. But now because of the extension of ULEX covering the entire London, they had to go get rid of that car because it wasn't ULEX compliant.
Oh, wow.
I felt for them because now they have to struggle to go to shop. But then again, why I'm telling you, I've never still got these answers. There's no accountability. The mayor of London, the system that be causing all this havoc to people's lives, they never come and say, we collected these billions.
Yeah, and this is and where it's going.
We have spent these billions to make the air you breathe cleaner.
Yeah.
You see where I'm coming
Nothing
from?
Nothing statistically has been proven or scientifically to prove that this is actually helping climate change or decreasing pollution in the ozone layer. Exactly. So you wonder, where is my money going?
Where is
Whereas
the money
before
going?
You knew that tax was going to
Why
roads.
Is my neighbor suffering?
And all that. Yeah. Yeah.
You see?
At the consequence of another's power.
Exactly.
That's how you have to see it. It's true.
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm still searching.
It's going to be a long journey.
You're searching for answers.
It's going to be a long journey.
This journalism never stops. We keep searching for answers. We keep searching for answers.
Yeah, that's true. Journalism, definitely.
When I was young, I used to think I would just wake up one day, I'll find all the answers, and I'll be sorted.
That was never happening. No.
Wow. Back to you. The books that you write.
Yes.
What was your first one?
So the first one that I ever published myself on Amazon is called A Thought for All. So it's a short collection of poems and monologues. And those were just poems and monologues I had written across my teenage years. Things, like I said, that I couldn't say, things that had come up in things that had come to mind that I didn't know that I went through as a child. So things that I couldn't convey, but I knew that someone out there could possibly relate to it. So that went well. And I put that out there because I had a few friends and flatmates at the time who had read it, and they were like, this is really good. Do you know that you're writing this? I'm like, because to me, I'm just writing. And unfortunately, at the time, I didn't see writing as a talent or a skill. I just saw it as I'm writing. Whereas, you know, when someone plays a sport or does something like with charity work, you see them get celebrated. So I never thought writing would be something like that, unfortunately, because of the way I was raised. I didn't think creative things were like useful. Looked upon. Yeah, or useful, to be honest. It didn't look like that.
Yeah.
So I put that out there, and then slowly but surely I started putting other things. But when it came to the Anaya series, I met up with a family friend, Bridget Yadam, and she helped. And she literally was just tell me, like, what's next for you? What are you going to write? And I came to, like, a halt. I didn't know what I was going to write. Like a mind block, like a writer's block, as they say. And I said, oh, so what am I going to write next? I still write poetry, but I just don't know. I was getting the feeling, like, what am I going to do? And I was just talking to her about life. And she was like, you should write a children's series. And I was like, really? I never thought of diving into that sector with writing. And so, yeah, I went home, took everything she told me, and I just, you know, thought, okay, tomorrow I'll try. I put mine to it. And I literally had a dream that night. And the dream came to me with the names and how it's going to be to obviously implement my life a little bit, but not too much. But I wanted to make sure someone out there had a book that didn't make them feel alone or didn't make them confused about who they were or a family dynamic, because as you know, things are changing. So when I woke up that day, everything came out. Literally, mind map started writing, page 1 to 24. Everything just came out. And it was like, clearly this has been in me, but I never knew. So I wrote it out and I was like, okay, this is going to be a trilogy series.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
I can't just do one book of a book. I have to keep on having more so people can have more to it. And then that's how it came about. And then I, you know, started sourcing out my illustrator from Fiverr and see how I wanted to do it. I had a focus group, gave them the manuscript so they can read it, give feedback for spelling errors, grammatical errors, if it made sense to them, if it was something they would read to their children or to their students. And through that, over the process going towards, it was like about 6-7 months to the process to put everything up, it eventually came out just before my birthday. I think it came out in February, I believe so. But yeah, the process was interesting. I'll say that Delise, as a writer, anyone that knows, it's interesting to get that design right, to wait on your design, to make sure it's edited correctly, to make sure that they're... And you have a little bit of fear sometimes that I'm putting this out there. Is this for me? Is someone going to like it? Will it be reciprocated well? Will they understand it? Will kids genuinely like it? And from the feedback, it seems like this is what kids wanted to see. You know, they wanted a book with positive affirmations, activities in the back. Yeah. Still keep their cognitive skills going as well. So writing is there as well. But I wanted a book that made sure you knew your identity through Christ. I wanted to dive into that because of how I was raised in particularly. But also to make sure that no child is actually alone. Because right now, it's very dark. There's so much they have to live up to.
Confusion. All around.
Everything, because there's so much being put in the air from advertisements, social media, even the teachers, even schools now, the doctrines that they're trying to like manifest in them and let them have. It's a bit too much. You know, you're a child, like you can, like, I can remember being five and just, you know, you just like to play, eat and relax and that's it. You look forward to the weekend because you're going to the park with your family or your cousins, or summer, you might be going to the beach with your family. It was so innocent then. I could still play outside and my mom could see me through the window, you know? But now it's not like that. There's too much going on. Like younger girls look older than me. And I'm a bit like, there's too much pressure out there for you just to be you. So I didn't want that kind of confusion to go through. You're already confused because you're going through puberty. So there's a lot going on with you anyway. But to have more of the people that you trust confuse you, that's a bit scary. So I needed something to settle that.
Yeah, you're right. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know your identity, which is very key, or if you're not attached to any culture or values, that makes sense. Sometimes, the world can really confuse.
You wander off. You wander off because there was nothing implemented. And I think we forget that as a child, you're an empty vessel. So the duty of care relies on either that parent, that guardian, or in some cases, an older sibling or an aunt. So it's like they have the right to actually help you grow up. Remember, you don't know anything.
You're
empty. So they teach you all the skills you need, writing, reading, walking, how to feed yourself, who you should trust, why you should trust, maybe going to church or going to this place. All these things get implemented and become a tradition or a culture. Environment plays a part. So you want things to be taught the right way. And you want them to know exactly what you said. If you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going. You'd be easily influenced along the whole. You'd be so vulnerable, it would shock you. You don't know where you're going.
Be like a light leaf flies with any little wind that goes.
Now that's a perfect metaphor. Because as a leaf does, it it just flows with the wind. Flows. Any wind that blows, whether that's negativity, exactly. fear, vulnerability, you roll with it. Yeah, you flow with it. And as the seasons change, you may fall to the ground. You may not get up. It may not be rooted in well. So I like that metaphor. It's very true.
Just land on the floor.
Yeah.
And a heavy foot of an elephant.
Yeah. Comes on. And that's that. And you know, that might be hard for you to get back up because life issues take place. So that might even be very hard for you to stand back up from after that fight or after that struggle that's taking place. So I needed a book that was light, but nice and innocent, but as well as something that could teach them along the way, you know?
Yeah. Wow. How was it received? The first one.
Whew, so it was actually received well. I don't know why I was scared. It was received well. Like someone read it and was like, wow, you wrote this in a day. How did you? How did you? And I was like, yeah. And it's, a lot of them love the positive affirmations. So there's a page in the book where Anaya is taken into the bathroom with her mother. And there's positive affirmations in there that are also biblically implemented. So I am victor, I am favor, I am blessed, I am loved, I am beautiful. I think if a child knows these things, they become those things. You know, like that's your true. Name.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't know how important it is to name a child.
Yeah.
They become that name. So my name is Priscilla. It means to be wise, vulnerable, and to know things. Yeah. So with so much knowledge in that, I have to make sure I use that the right way.
Yeah.
So when that child sees that in the mirror and sees, oh, I am beautiful.
Yeah.
Any bully, any person couldn't even come into your mind because you've known that from young.
Yeah.
You would take it as a projection rather than a rejection. Yeah. You wouldn't, you know, and then there's an activity at the back with a word search. And every kid loved that because then they're looking for words. So you're learning at the same time to spell, to read, to write.
Yeah.
And it's books like that, they're lost. They're not there anymore, unfortunately. It is very much, you know, just like, oh, be this and be that. And it's, it's kind of scary.
So, and right now, most of the time, children are learning their values from TikTok. And while I was away, just came from Africa. And just, I find that in London, which is amazing, youths mobilizing each other through TikTok to go and loot.
Yes, I've seen that recent trend. I didn't understand it, though.
Wow.
But I've seen it. I think I saw a TikTok. They were in Oxford Street or something.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense, but I saw like a young of... A group of young people and they were just running. Like,
mobs.
Literally. I didn't understand.
Let's go to like a place like Oxford Circus, Oxford Street.
You know, and they're looting.
And it's like mobilizing to commit crime.
There's no agenda.
There's no agenda. It's looting free... mission.
It's like,
I was like, wow, it's for this to be happening in London,
right?
What's gonna where happen? Else?
It's scary.
Which there's place no, is safe?
That's the question. Like I'm getting to the stage where it's like I'm considering all these things that I'm gonna walk into, my family life, how I raise my children, where I'll live and stuff like that with myself, and I'm just like, Where safe? Where can I go? I think I might homeschool at this point because I don't know if I can trust a teacher to understand someone's point of view, you know. I saw something trending and a girl was in a Catholic school. She goes to a Catholic school and she was asked by her teacher to give her opinion on, you know, genders, and she did, and she got excluded about it. But it was like, that's what you've taught us in religious studies, I'm just feeding back the information.
Yeah.
But somehow the teacher was like, no, you've offended people, you can't call them like that. And I'm thinking, them, I thought we're going, you know, it doesn't make sense because maybe you forgot your school is a Catholic school. So how can she be in trouble for something you've taught her?
Yeah.
So now it's all about feelings and not facts. So it's scary. It's like, what happened to the basic knowledge of teaching a child of how to be and where to be? Like, what's going on? Why do you want them to follow your doctrine so bad that you want to exclude this child from learning?
Exactly.
The parent didn't even understand. The parent was like, okay, so I'm going to have to come and have a meeting because your policy is not matching to what you're teaching anymore. You know?
We're living in a confused world,
it's
Priscilla.
It's very confused.
The word a long time ago, the word wicked, it was straight meaning.
Yeah.
Terrible. Bad.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Mm.
But then the youths of the time twisted all that.
I mean,
want to enjoy, say smash is really cool.
Yeah. I can put my hand up and say that.
They say it's wicked.
I've definitely done that.
What?
I can definitely say that in school. I did say that this thing is wicked. 100%. I get what you mean. The tense and the meaning behind names have definitely changed.
Totally changed.
I definitely agree.
And you know, the moment you begin to talk about some words are so sensitive even to say.
Yeah. Comedy is not a comedy anymore.
Yeah, you're scared what to say.
Yeah, because you might get, quote-unquote, cancelled, you might get fired, you might get dismissed, you might get excluded.
You get into trouble.
Yeah, because you're going by what you've been taught or what you know of or what you've read. Yeah. And now it's like, ignore all of that. This is what we need to know. And it's like, but none of this does it. You're confusing me. You're confusing a child. You're confusing even adults who have lived here and they know what they've seen and what they've witnessed. So they're thinking, so where's this world going? What's the direction?
Yeah.
At this point, like, you're making it's survival of the fittest now. It's very scary.
Just being directed and dictated to social media is a way.
Yeah, whereas me.
And where is it taking us?
Nowhere. It's making you waste time if you think about it.
Some of the pranks I see on social media.
That's so scary.
Sometimes I say,
yeah,
that's not fair. Whether you call it a prank or not,
yeah,
I don't want you to scare me when I'm not ready.
Yeah, to fake it. No, honestly, to fake a death or to fake these, like, all these things that are trending, it makes you question, like, but what is in your mind to think that this is actually funny or that this is suitable? Because it's not.
It's not.
It's not. It's very dark. I don't know why you think that. So for me, it's like with reading, writing, I always say to people,
yeah,
that's a skill that's mandatory. You need to know how to write. You need to know how to read.
Exactly.
Don't become domiciled where you don't know what you're doing, because that's where you're taking advantage of. When you sign a contract, don't just tick I agree. Read why that's the case, you know,
the small print.
Yes, always read the small print, because you have to, because that's where you're taking advantage of. When you want to get a book, don't just get a book because it's trending and I saw it and I like it. What are you going through right now? Is it self-help? Is it fiction? Is it fantasy? Is it sci-fi? Do you like history? Okay, find an historian that you want to read on. Is it philosophy? Okay, Aristotle, Darwin. Read things that make sense that can now implement to what you're currently doing. That way there's an alignment.
Yeah.
It's all working out together. You don't feel like, you know, you're doing too much or you're spreading yourself too thin.
Yeah.
Because that's what the world wants you to do, so much at the same time.
Living in a busy world.
Yeah, and that's definitely London.
In snippets.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Everything is overwhelming. They're just getting bombarded with words and videos. And I don't even know what they're going to be. Because now, look at tuition fees. I don't know the statistic, but I know that many didn't apply to go this coming
course. No, it's shorter.
Yeah,
it's
because they scrapped so plan expensive. Two. So, yeah, so it's now, I think it's between 9 to 11K
exactly.
to go and study. Bear you in mind, someone could say, I can go on YouTube and learn that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes people think, do I really want to be that first person in uni anymore?
True.
I saw my sibling go through debt. I don't know about that. You're not giving them hope to go and find their own thing. What is their incentive but debt? At this point, what's their incentive? Whereas I knew I wanted to go because I want to go and learn more. Because that's just what it was.
Exactly.
As well as escaping, because I needed to breathe a little bit. But, you know, there's no incentive anymore. There's no, like, I want to be this and I want to do that. There's no one wants to make a change. No one wants to be that martyr anymore.
Yeah.
Because they know that if they do that, they might get cancelled, they might get thrown off.
Yeah.
So there's too much fear.
Too much fear. And it's a lot of fear for so many things.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio. There's so much fear of many different things. Wherever you find, like, young people, they have to think. I saw my brother, for example, one student say, I've seen my brother going to uni. He came out with a loan of close to £40,000 and he hasn't got a job. Is it really worth it?
Yeah.
All these questions are playing on
children's minds. He was depressed. He was sad.
And exactly.
Yeah.
And when you look into the fee, there are short ups so high. Again, probably students are thinking, wow, is it really worth it? Or should I just go to YouTube and begin to do some content creation?
And the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's just that you need to also know, what are you going to create?
Yeah.
Don't just go into it because it's trending.
Yeah.
If you're that person that likes art and business, okay, how are we going to go to that museum? Who are we going to contact? How am I going to get myself on that radio? How am I going to go to that podcast? Okay, this is the business I want to start. You still need to read. You still need to research what you want to go into.
Yeah.
So even if you try to avoid the basic skills that are given to you fundamentally, you're still going to have to dive into it, you know? So that's why I created a book whereby there's an activity.
Yeah.
You kind of know who you are as well. You learn it through Christ, through your faith, through life experiences. But most importantly, I wanted to show a family dynamic. You don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, people may not believe this, but they're getting rid of that, and it starts off with gentrification. Yeah. When you get houses that don't fit families, that's how it starts off. You have to make them decisions, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted a book that explored the family dynamic and wanted them to see that, you know, you have a dad who reaffirms Anaya when she's doing something.
Yeah.
You have a mom that goes with her shopping so she knows how to talk to people, greet people, how to behave when she's outside, to know the mannerism, how to, you know, how to treat an elderly person, how to treat a child. These things need to be taught, you know, because that's how someone will do something and they'll be like, oh, I didn't know I hurt you. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that that's what it meant, because no one's taught you that.
It's true, though. There are fewer teachers of the right things. And
definitely.
You know, when I look back, is this positive affirmation is very important. As I earlier shared, academically, I'm a communication expert to students. That's where I went to uni for, away from politics, journalism. There are words we used to call in communication. These kind of words have so much power in one's life.
Definitely.
And you have to understand when you say they're like, their impact is almost like picking up a knife and cutting someone's
100%.
For example, if you think about, you are a parent and your child doesn't perform well in school, and you come and tell this child, I knew you will amount to nothing. You see, you're the parent. You're the one who should be giving confidence to this child. You're the one uttering such impactful words like, you will amount to nothing.
It's strong, it's impactful,
it's
mind-shifting. You don't realize it. You know when you're telling the child like, oh, I knew you'll just be like your father, or you're always bad, or they're always calling me, or you're just nothing, or you're not going to be anything.
Yeah.
You know, put that in their mind, they will become nothing. You know,
definitely.
You haven't taught that person they did something bad. You just called them bad.
Yeah.
So they haven't learned the lesson here. Mm-hmm. You haven't told that child that, listen, I love you, but what you did today in school, it was a bad thing. It affected XYZ, and this is why XYZ is happening. This is why your punishment is so and so. Not that you're a bad child, get out of my sight. That child hasn't learned nothing. They've just learned that they did something bad, they're gonna get the punishment.
And anywhere you go, your parent, your father or your mother, are the very good people to give you confidence.
Yeah.
But it's like you agree with them because their word is like, it comes with finality. You know?
Yes.
Your childhood, it just comes.
Finality,
If my mother can say that, then
it must be true.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's got to be true because
they know me.
They know me. I'm their son, I'm their daughter. They know me. So if they can say that, I agree with them.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of children have really not done well because of some.
I agree. It's
kind
it
of killer words.
Yeah.
Killer words. You know,
and you wonder why you wonder why that child becomes so rebellious.
Yeah, exactly.
Why they look at to look for something.
Yeah.
Why they want to fill the void in substances or, you know, anti-terrorism and stuff like that. You wonder why, but it's a doctrine that you were building from young. You didn't know.
Without knowing.
Without even knowing, because maybe you projected.
Yeah.
Or let's be honest, maybe you're jealous. Maybe you don't know why this child is excelling, so you have to keep them at a certain level to make you feel better. Or maybe you don't know how to handle them because they're you.
Exactly.
And that scares you, that frightens you.
Yeah.
But then that's the time for you to reflect and think, okay, I know where I went wrong. I don't want this child to go wrong. Doesn't mean now put so much pressure on them, but guide them in the way that you wasn't guided. So they can understand, okay, I see that I've done wrong and so and stuff. Like, for example, if any time I brought a report back home and let's say I didn't meet to the standards that both my mom and dad knew I could meet, okay, my dad will sit me down and be like, so what happened? Because he wants to know what's going on, you know, like, how did you get there? Why is it doing this? And then my mom could be like, but we know you. You can do this. You're very strong. You're opinionated. You like to talk. How come you said it this way? They would sit me down literally and they'd be like, we don't want to see this again, but we need you to understand why.
Yeah.
So I knew, okay, I'm going to get in trouble if I do it again. But also, I've been told that I talk a lot, I do this. So what did they do? They put me in a debate team.
Yeah.
They went to let me go and learn how to argue properly. Of course, yeah. And how to... So my mom's like, you need to find something where you can, you know, release this, but also you can learn from it. So my mom's like, you can do debate team. I'll pick up your brothers. You go. So that's the sacrifice. She was like, you know, you do that. And my dad was like, okay, you like to write so much. She would get me The Guardian every Saturday. Read anything and everything to help you when it comes to writing. That's one thing I was taught. So it's like, I'm reading these things, I don't care. At that age, you really don't care what's going on, as long as you're fine. But I read them because it's like I'm being guided to read this for a reason. Someone has paid for this newspaper for me to read it. So the least I can do is read it and then, you know, revert it back to you and tell you this is what I've learned from it. It's how you speak to a child and the way you deliver it. Maybe what you're saying is correct, but your delivery poorly executed. So now that child, not only did they not like school, they hate you.
So
now they're going outside, they're going to meet whoever, they're going to join a gang, they're going to find someone that's a family, because family at home is not what it used to be, you know. They think they're not supposed to be here because they think they're a burden, you know. They're doing too much, when really, have you noticed, it's always this quote-unquote bad child that is very smart. They're very smart, they know what to do, they just need guidance, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing is, we, especially parents, have to be very careful the words they say to their children. But also not parents alone, also.
Of course.
It's a brother, sister issue.
Yeah.
It's a relative somewhere.
Yeah.
We all have a way of affecting each 100%, other because we are living in the shared community, the shared spaces. And that's why affirmation is key. So probably then when you look into your writing, you're dealing with youth issues and children issues. I don't know. I look around, I scan around this globe of social media, and I almost instantly despair, thinking, gone are the days when a child will sit down and think, let me write something. Because nowadays, I'm going on TikTok.
Even you yourself, you're
on
there.
Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and they never stop. They are always there. It's this generation, a generation of consumers.
That's what they're building us to be, consumers, robots, to be filled into this society, to this doctrine, and just do it. I mean, you've even got AI and ChatGPT. So nowadays, are you even going to write your essay? Are you going to even tell someone how you really feel? Or are you going to go and write me a description of how to say sorry to someone when I offended them? And you know, someone write it to you, send it to them, person's like, wow, it wasn't heartfelt. It's not real. It's not authentic. It's not coming from a place of sorrow or, you know, dismay. It's none of those things, you know. So it's like what you're saying. I needed to put positive affirmations in there because I didn't have positive affirmations as a child. Not saying I had negative ones, but this wasn't really implemented. I was just told, you know, go and be the best out of them, be great in school, do, you know, the normal things that you're and that's okay, because the generation of my parents, they come from a different generation, you know. They come from the baby bloomers and the generation after World War their parents, so of course they're gonna have a different mindset to mine. But like you said, it's also their duty to teach me what they know. But I think as young adults, it's also our duty to let them know what they've missed out and what they don't know. Most of them have gone through a lot of mental health issues, but they don't know, because they keep on going. They don't stop. They don't take a breather. And they don't soak in their achievements.
Yeah.
It's always, okay, let's go and do this. Or they're very stagnant. Okay, I got this job, I'll stay here for 35 years, no problem. But then they forget about their aspirations and their dreams that they wanted to do. Then they place it on that child. And when that child doesn't live up to it, now there's anger. Now there's quarrel in the house. But that child didn't know that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just, there needs to be a balance of transparency, where we understand that I respect you because you're an adult, but I also understand you, that you're my child and you're in a different generation. If we can come to that, you know, that line of balance and respect, both generations could actually learn from each other, because we've been taught differently.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, listeners, this is Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. Today we are hosting Priscilla Ahead. And yes, feel free, communicate. Facebook, we are live as well. I can see great people are writing there. But is Pastor Titus? TJ, yes.
Okay.
All the way, I think, from Kenya. God bless you.
Oh, wow, hello.
We love you doing good work, for the good work you are doing. I acknowledge that.
Thank
you. Keep talking, communicate. You can see Susan when they're there, keep up the good work. All the way from Kenya as well.
Oh, thank you.
So we are going far. Africa in Focus, coming to you from the heart of London to wherever you are. It's a global channel of communication. We deal with issues that matter. And of course, today we are talking about youths. And yeah, we have a writer here, Priscilla. So you see, it's amazing the things we are doing. I'm just thinking about, for example, how confusing it can be to live in a place like London when you are a child today, because of actually the messages you see all around you. Let me illustrate. One wonderful general election campaign, of course, in the UK is done in a very quiet manner. It's not like in Africa. You see billboards and pictures and all that. Here it's done in a very quiet manner.
It used to be like that. It's just changed. Yeah.
Very quiet manner. If you're not careful, in the UK, you wake up to an election of a new prime minister.
I mean, we've had four.
You didn't even feel it. Yeah, you didn't even feel it. It just happened.
They make decisions overnight.
So quiet. So I want to illustrate one time. I got this young man. Actually, it's my son. And of course, he's embarked in good values. As I used to tell him, okay, never be afraid of anything. God will always protect you. Wherever you are, have confidence. And you ask me, you sure? Not to be afraid of anything. And say, that's the spirit. Keep it that way. Until one day, he came and he asked me the same question again. Dad, did you say I should never be afraid of anything? And I was like, why do you ask? You know the answer. Never be afraid of anything. God will always protect you. And then he says to me again, absolutely nothing. I should never be afraid of anything. Say, yeah, never be. And then you know what? He just kept quiet and he waited. So one moment we are walking along the street, we see a big billboard, political billboard during campaign time. Now, this billboard was made by the Labour Party.
Okay.
And the Labour Party of the UK had put all the Conservative ministers and created a very terrible image on the billboard representing Conservative MPs, Conservative ministers, and all of them looking so scary. You know why that is the case? It's because it's Labour Party, it's the opponent party.
Right.
They are representing Conservative leaders as scary.
Okay.
So that you don't vote for them. Remember, it's campaign period.
Yeah.
So they didn't even have to say anything on the billboard. Very few words. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I mean, if you see that, and you're going to be afraid.
My son waited until he took me to that billboard.
Oh, he showed it to you.
And in front of the billboard, he asked me, you said I should never be afraid of anything? I said, yes, God will always protect me. Then he shows me the billboard. What does the billboard say? Be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Wow.
That's it. So now you see the things that surround us.
Yeah. It's very important.
The things that surround children, the things they see, the things they watch on TV, all these things, they are impacting on everything they are learning.
Yeah.
They are processing.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
That's why,
all together.
That's with the Anaya series. Yeah. I'm working on creating a YouTube series for children so that there's a 10-minute I want to do like a 10 minutes per episode where you kind of see Anaya's life with friendship groups, with relationships, with family, with issues. And I don't want to hide things that children do go through, yeah. where it's the confusion, the secrecy. Sometimes they've been lied to, but it's not by intention. I want things to be shown. So I'm working on creating a YouTube series that children can have, because you know they've got all these gadgets nowadays. You know, everyone's got an iPad or a tablet. So you want your child to go on YouTube and watch something that is not only safe, but actually makes sense for them to see. Because when you watch anything or when you see anything,
yeah.
you take a picture, your mind takes a picture and it remembers that for life. I'm yeah. sure you can testify to this. There's memories that still stay in your
yeah.
head.
Yeah, sure.
No matter if it's negative or positive, it's there and anything can trigger it, whether it's a scent or a word or a person or a familiar environment. So I want someone to watch something and be like, oh, okay, this is how Anaya and her friend resolved the issue. Maybe yeah. I should go to school and talk to that person rather than bully them or rather than make fun of them. You know, you want that to happen. You want them to understand that, okay, Anaya's dad said this and spoke to her in a nice way. Okay, that makes sense. So just in case you are in a house that's abusive,
yeah.
you know that that's not the way you should be speak, you know, you should be spoken to.
Yeah.
So that's the plan with the Anaya series. And then, yeah, the second book should be coming out shortly by the end of the year as well. That will be called Anaya and Friends. And
yeah.
she'll be diving into learning how to forgive, understand each other, understand that friends are different races, shapes and sizes as well. Learning to respect and communicate openly and transparent, because kids learn secrecy. I mean, there's already sinning kids from the flesh of the womb. So you want them to learn things and understand that, you know, if this is being said or if this is being done, report it. Tell an adult. Let someone know. Don't be confused and think, if I say something, I'm in trouble. Because remember, you are a child.
Yeah.
Things are not done because you said it.
No.
You are taught things. You yeah. are told things.
Yeah.
So if it does, if your body feels weird, if you don't feel okay, I need them to know that this is not a bad thing. Go and tell someone. You know, if you're in a friendship group and you feel like every time I'm in it, I don't feel wanted or needed, then please leave the friendship group. It's fine to be alone. Just pick up the book. I went to the library sometimes during lunchtime when I was confused. Just go to that library and, you know, read your favorite book. It'll be okay. Lunch is only 30 minutes out of the day, you know. Even though you're seeing these students 35 hours a week, I can count on two hands who I see now from school. You know what I mean? But as a kid, that feels like a lifetime away.
That's
you
true.
Know, so you want them to live in that moment, but nice and free, but free in the right way.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, very true. So in that particular story of my son, I had now to take him home.
Oh, okay.
And
after
I had to
billboard,
teach him politics.
Oh.
Why we have parliament, why political parties compete, why they send these messengers out to outdo each other.
Mm-hmm.
And of course now I had to re-emphasize my previous message. Live with confidence,
mm-hmm.
you know.
To reaffirm him.
Him, you know, like, yeah, remember the original position.
Yeah.
Live with confidence.
Mm.
But yes, there was contradictory messages coming, challenging everything I'm teaching. Is challenging. Yeah, I say, don't be afraid. It says, don't just be afraid, be very afraid.
Mm. Yeah.
So you're there.
I mean, it was a warning.
You're just there. You're there, you know, fighting with values. And it opened my mind. I thought, how often do our children, do young people go through this confusion quietly?
I'm sure it's like 100%.
Supposing he never came to talk to me about it, I would never have known there was a contradictory message.
But that's because you've built that relationship with your son.
That we can talk.
To be, this is it, to be transparent. Yeah. And, you know, that's why the Anaya series, I needed that. I need people to understand that, yes, they are an authority figure. Yes, it's someone that sometimes can tell you off and you can laugh with them. But you also need to understand that that is someone you should run to regardless.
Yeah.
Regardless. You know, even as that parent teaches you to pray and you pray to God and you ask for forgiveness or you talk to him and you give thanks and you know, as a kid, you might let out all your desires and give him everything. But you should also let the parent in physical sense know that this is what's going on at home, that I'm not comfortable with this, or this happened. What does this mean? Or I saw this, but I don't get it. Or every time I watch the news, I don't understand that. Or when I'm in school, they say this. Is that true? You want the child to do it because they're confused. Remember, they're learning things. That child is in overload.
Yeah.
Whatever they learned the day before, the next day they've processed it.
Yeah.
So they, if they're in the same environment, the same school, they're understanding, okay, this teacher did this and this parents did this. And some kids are very inquisitive, you know, telling them to keep quiet and that they're asking too much questions. It's not always a good thing. They're asking questions because they want to know.
Yeah.
So that's your duty to answer them. So for the fact that your son took you there, it wasn't like he was lying. He showed you what he saw. You could have been the parent to be like, oh, leave it. That's just the news. It's not for you to worry about. Or it's not your age. Don't worry. You could have actually dismissed him. Yeah. But when he showed it to you, you saw that, okay, he's showing me something, but it's also something I've told him. How do I teach him that this is what they do, but it's not what he needs to believe?
Exactly, yeah.
You know, without disrespecting the community he's in as well. Because you don't want him to go rogue on them, but you wanted him to understand both parallels. So,
Yeah, so that's very important. And the Anaya series, of course, is a good one. And I think when children, young people interact with this kind of communications, is always good. And I think... perhaps I haven't known a lot about the series, but I'm thinking probably if it's a series, it comes to a time whereby a young person may, oh, okay, what do Anaya do in my shoes?
Yeah.
You know? It's not easy. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to you because you have to create all these messages.
It's true.
How does it work? I know someone said to me, if you want to be a good writer, anytime you slept and had a dream, wake up,
write it down.
And I use that. I write as well, and I love poetry. That's something we have in common.
Oh, great.
And I remember one time I slept and I had a wonderful dream. And this dream, after I had it, I woke up and I just wrote down everything that I saw in it. And it was amazing. I was so happy to have done that because the day after seeing what I wrote, the whole images came back.
Yeah.
And I wrote a very nice poem. And this poem, I dramatized it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like didactic poetry.
Okay.
And I performed it in many high schools.
Like a spoken word.
Yeah, okay. It was amazing, with amazing effects.
Mm.
Yeah, so giving it the very nice title, Visions of Victory. And it was nice. It was very interesting images I saw when I was sleeping, like a long, you know the length of a sea is very long. You
can't even see. Yes, it's always ongoing.
But now imagine a bridge which is above the sea. And then you see yourself, both sides, being enemies coming from both sides, and you're in the middle. And you're like, what happens if I jump? Down you see crocodiles, hippos with mouths open waiting for you to jump. What do you do? So I was just seeing all these images and but it became so easy when I had to write the poem because as scared as I was on that particular, going through those emotions of that image, you see, it will come a time whereby I find it easy to put words and attach and everything. So it was okay. But I'm just thinking, the Anaya series.
Mm-hmm.
There will be so many messages to go through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do they come through your moments of trance? When you sleep?
I think a bit of both.
Or you just create them?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. Some do come in the dreams and some do come from a life experience or something that took place as a child. So, you know, one thing I always thank God for is my memory. It's very sharp. It can be triggered easily and I can remember exactly. And my parents can be like, oh, wow. You remember when we went there, or you remember that person? So those is a bit of that, but sometimes it's the dreaming as well, like or like a vision or something I've seen. I could be working and I'm looking at something and I'm like, and I write it down quickly so I don't, you know, lose thought of it, and then I put them all together and just, you know, start to write and see what comes out of it. So there's other books that will form as well later on in life that I'll put out. But yeah, it's a bit of both, really and truly. But yeah, there's a bit of both, but you can get the book on Amazon currently.
Yeah.
The website is live, the NayaSeries.com, and the hardbacks will be out shortly. There's also merchandise, affirmation t-shirts that you can get of the characters of Eva and Naya, Micah, or Jacobs, and at the back it can say, I am bold, I am blessed. You can personalize it too. There's coloring books as well for children to, like, you know, keep them company and keep them busy. So yeah, I'm working towards making it an official, like, brand of its own.
Amazing work you're doing, and on top of all that,
you're
a legal practitioner. What about the law? Tell us more about the law.
Oh, the law thing. You're such a busy lady. I wonder how I sleep. I did one dabble in law. I studied law as an undergrad and currently doing it as my master's. Contracts, I've dabbled in that. My speciality will be contracts and consultations. I've learned immigration. I've learned other types of law along the way that I've gathered information about, and, you know, knowledge is there. So, yeah, that's it for law, I'd say.
I don't know how you do it. I don't either.
I always say it's God. I honestly say that God gives to those who have the capacity for it. I can sit there, and that's why sometimes I have to quickly ask for forgiveness when I complain, because I have skills that some might be praying for, or some may not have. But it's a skill that sometimes I think, you've chosen me to do this. There's a lot of pressure, and sometimes you can feel overwhelmed, but, you know, I ask for strength, I ask for to my capacity to be increased. I ask for guidance so that I know spirit of discernment, how that I know what to say, just so I can be guided, especially when I don't know how and where it's supposed to go sometimes. Because we all have skills and talents, each according to the person.
I guess a confession I always make. When I get too busy, someone will come and say, how are you? And I always say, God is still holding me.
I understand. I can relate. I can relate. I just say, that's a loaded question today, but I'm well. It is well. Because it is well.
It's going to be all right.
You can check out the website, subscribe. There's also a newsletter you can subscribe to that. I give latest updates about the book and things that are going to happen and other merchandise that, you know, might come to play. So, yeah.
No. Congrats, you're doing great work. Thing one can do is to impact the future generation.
I agree. Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes we fold our hands and we keep on mourning about the things that we don't like in our society. Shall I maybe say, we need to be the change we want to see.
I agree.
That if we don't do anything, nothing will ever change. But if we begin to do something,
I agree completely. 100%.
So perhaps your last word on where you see us going with these youths' values. Is it a dark cloud hanging over the society, or is there a bright moment ahead?
So poetic. So poetically said. It's like a pathetic thing that you just did there. I would say that, unfortunately, yes, there is a dark cloud and it's hovering. However, a dark cloud produces rain. So you can pray that that rain can wash away the things that, you know, you don't want to see or hear. And you can pray that it washes away something that you might have witnessed or seen or gone through. And you can pray for refreshment. You know, after it rains, the air is a bit, it's refreshed.
Yeah.
You know, lovely. So you can prepare, you can pray for, you know, a bit of refreshment sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
And that even in the darkness, there's always a thin, there's always a thin bit that shows a bit of light. Sure. You know, there's always, you know, have you noticed if you close your curtains or close your blinds, there's always a bit of light that tries to seep through.
It's always there.
So you're fighting, there's always a battle. Even if you're in darkness, light is there. It's up to you to go and see it.
You have to see it.
You have to see it. You or have you to see it.
The eye of your mind.
100%. No, I agree. You use the eye to see it, because sometimes what you see, another hasn't yet seen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I will say, write the things that you want to be seen, to be heard, and to be understood.
Sure.
I'll leave it as that.
Yeah. No, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you around. And of
thank
course,
you.
we'll bring you another time.
I would love to. Yes, yes. Thank you.
Series continues.
Yes, most definitely.
Want to learn more.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure to our listeners. You know, that time has come again, but join us another time. There's always another time, so we'll catch up another time.
Africa in Focus.